And as a church, we want to pray for them, for God's protection to be upon them as when they go and share God's word. So as the board of council will come forward, we're just going to pray for them, lay our hands on them, and just believe in great and mighty things. It is important for us as a church even to pray for this couple as they go out into the workforce, as they go into their missionaries for the church and their missionaries for the Lord. So we just want them to pray for them. As you lay our hands upon them in the church, we just stretch forth in a mighty way towards this couple here this morning. Father, and I'm just going to read some verses and pray through the verses of God, through the Bible this morning. So Father, I plead right now, Father, for Pastor Catherine and Alan will be led with the Holy Spirit and with daily walk in the power. I pray that, Lord, that you will speak the word of God with boldness, that when they go out there, they will speak it with boldness in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I plead that you will protect them in a mighty way from the attacks of Satan and from his attacks of Satan and his demons. Father, I ask you that you would open doors and hearts to receive the gospel as they minister in that place of Uganda, oh Lord. I pray that you will make, oh Father, this couple, Pastor Catherine, oh Father, and Alan, a ministry, oh Father, exceedingly fruitful as when they glorify and they bring glory to thy name, oh Lord. Please, God, grant our prayers this morning, oh Father, in a mighty way. Father, I plead that you would continue to protect them from all harm, oh God, and ask them that you would give them strength, then, Father, the inner strength that is needed and that physical strength, oh God, in Jesus' name. Oh Father, as they step their feet in that airplane, I ask of you, Lord, that you would guide them, oh God, in a mighty, precious way. And as when they step down in Africa and Uganda, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, that the power of God would just be upon their lives, oh Lord, in a mighty, precious way. As when they open their mouths, as when they minister to God, souls will come to you, oh Lord, because of your authority, your Bible, your word, oh God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, you release power upon their life as when they go out, oh Lord. Father, they're away, far away from us, but Lord, they will sense the presence of God and the Church of New Hope praying for them, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you do great and mighty things, O Lord. As when they come back, O Lord, we know that they will have great testimonies, O God. But Lord, that lives have been touched, that lives have been transformed, that lives have been healed. Not because, O Father, of our strength, but it's because of your Spirit and it's because of your power. But use this couple in a mighty, precious way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated as also Pastor Alan has something to share before we go into God's Word this morning. Thank you, church, for just praying alongside.
Thank you so much for the prayers. And by the end of the week, I'll send a prayer request of specific things that to our receptionists, that they can send it all to you, that you can keep us in prayer for this period of time. We certainly will need it, believe me. It's a whole new adventure for me especially. But just in honor of the Yesu Kwagla Bible College, Yesu Kwagla in the Ugandan language means Jesus loves you. Yesu is Jesus. And when I was there the last time, I wrote a song called Yesu Kwagla, and without knowing what was going to happen with that. But anyways, the praise team in Uganda College, they have taken that song and recorded it in a studio there, and they're also taking a whole bunch of other of my songs that I've written, and a few of their own they're working on writing, and they're putting their own album together, which I'm going to be helping them finish that hopefully when I go down there. So then they can go on tours with their college and raise funds with all that, so that's kind of what's happening. But anyways, four of their songs are completed, and I put them on an album that I just did, of my own original music that I'm dedicating the whole album and all the proceeds that come from the sale of it towards donations to the Africa Mission. So I have finally have that duplicated and ready to go, so if anybody would like to purchase that, I'll be at the table for $20. And so you get 18 songs on it, four of their own from that they've completed, and their tribute song, Yesu Kwagla, is on there, their version and also my version, so you have both versions of it. So we thank you so much for supporting us in these ways. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Alan. May the Lord be with you as you both go to Uganda and to share the word of God. And we're excited to see that what God's going to do, and we bring back testimonies. So we're going to continue praying for them. Is that right? Are we? Isn't that a duty of a church? This morning, I want to talk to you. First and foremost, I want to say welcome to everyone. If it's the first time you're here today, it's welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. I just pray that you would feel at home and the warmth of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in this place here. And do encourage you. And for the ones who come here week after week, when you look around, you see there's someone missing. Don't get discouraged. Remember, don't get discouraged. I mean, we allow God to work in the lives of others. And just give them a phone call and just give them a shout and a smile and just whatever. Even an email or a text or tweet right now. Even can tweet right now. I'm allowing you to use a text, your phone right now. You can tweet someone and just say that you're in the house of God and you're in New Hope Christian Assembly. Just now you're allowed. As when I start preaching, then you close your phones. So no more Candy Crush and no more other games you're going to be playing. Is that right? Because we're in the house of God now. Amen? So I do encourage you to make, you know, 7, 10 numbers and just give a phone call and just greet someone and just say, you know, it's been a long time I haven't seen you and we just want to welcome you back to New Hope Christian Assembly. Come down. We can have some great time of fellowship and great time of worship and also from the Word of God. You know, sometimes people need to hear just that phone call. Or just even to say, I love you and I miss you. And that's extremely important. And that's why today I want to talk to you and start a series of the church. And I want to start about God's vision on the church, universal churches. And then next week we're going to go on God's vision on this church. And then we're going to go my plan for this church. There's 3-point sermons that I want to do. And I do encourage you to come on out in every service. I know that God has something great for this church. But I want you to get the same vision. I want you to get the same vision of God once and the same love and the same passion that I have for this church and for this community. So I do want to bring this to you this morning. So it is not going to be like one of those evangelistic services that, you know, that we're praying for. You know, there are times for that. There are times for you know, running back and forth and on fire for God. And I'm still going to be on fire for God. Don't get me wrong here. You know, I'm still going to get excited when I preach God's word. But I do encourage and I know that God has, wants me to teach this on the church. It is important for us to understand really about the church. And when I look around, it's been, 8 weeks that I'm here, and I have to say, and I'm sharing my heart to every one of you this morning. And I just please open your heart and your ears and just to receive what I'm trying to say. I have contacted people that I have not come here for the last year or so. And I asked them specific questions, and then I asked them, and one of the questions, the answers that they give me is that they don't feel connected with the church. And when I hear that, it just breaks my heart. It's telling me that we have a weakness in our church. Now, if we look at it, is the church the building or is it us? So what I want to talk to you about this next 3 weeks is the church is ourselves and how we should be and how we should act. And what are the fundamentals and the truth that we should apply to our lives? So the spiritual growth of the church and the miracle growth of the church. I'm not here to waste any time. I have come here 4,000 kilometers away to preach the gospel of Christ because God has called me, not man has called me. It is God has called me. And I want to bring this to the church. And I want to do everything in my ability with God's power, God's Holy Spirit, with God's guidance, to teach every one of us, including myself, how to be the church. And this is one of my statements. If the church is going to be the church the way the church should be, it will impact this community. Every one of us want to see chairs, pews filled. Every one of us do. But there's things that you and I must do as a church to see God move in a mighty way and touch lives around us. Don't we want to see our young ones in the church? Don't we want to see our youth in the church? Don't you want to see our children in the church? Don't you want to see your spouses in the church? Don't you want to see your uncles in the church, your aunts in the church, your grandparents, your neighbors in the church? We all want to see them in the church building, but we also want to see them in the family of God. The family of God is the one true important thing that we got to look at. Because just let me ask you something. I'm getting off my notes here, but let me ask you something. If I remove every single one of you in this church building, will close down, are we still the church? We still must be the church outside these walls. And it's sad at times the building makes people a Christian, but it's wrong. A Christian is a personal walk with Christ. In applying the scripture, the fundamentals, the truth in our lives to be fruitful in this world so people around us will just sense the power of God is when we walk, is when we shake our hands with someone, and then you will see souls coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I'm here to tell you there are things that you and I must do to see a church filled in a gathering of people worshiping the Lord. Watch this in Acts 9, verse 31. If we have the New King James Version, we can put it up there if you have it. Acts 9, verse 31. So the first part that I want to share with you this today, I do have 35 minutes. God's vision for this church, for the church. Not this church, but for the church. We're going to look at that. Here you go. May the Lord add another blessing of His word upon our lives this morning. And just, you know, I like to say this, but every week after week, we got to get the key words out of this verse right here. And I'll explain you chapter 9 for later on. But here it goes. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of what? It was and by, and here's the thing, it grew in. What's the last word? Living in the fear of the Lord. So we're going to look at the peace, walking. We're going to look at the peace, the unity and the edified, the foundation. We're going to look at walking in the fear of the Lord. And we're going to look at walking in the Spirit of God. Those are four things that we must look at. Those fundamentals, those truths that an early church should have, that early church had, that you and I should have today, to allow this church to grow spiritually and to allow this church to grow numerically. My first and most important thing is that every single one of us will grow spiritually. And when we grow spiritually, the church will grow numerically. Because the people will be contagious. It will be contagious to others around us because the way we speak, the way we act, the way we do things, it makes a big impact on the people around us. So the early church has good fundamental truth that will help us. It grew in numbers. That's what I'm looking at. Grew spiritually and in numbers. So when we look at the early church, we see that the first thing is, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. So how does the church start? How do we become the family of God? So it started like Paul. If you read in chapter 9 of Acts, it tells us Paul, Saul, who was he? Who was a persecutor who killed Christians, dragged men and women out of their homes and destroyed, and they killed them. They killed Christians because he did not like them. He wanted to do everything bad towards the Christian people. And all of a sudden, when he's walking to the road of Damascus, God has struck him with the light, and he fell to the ground for 3 days. And then he went, someone, a devout Christian, took him and led him, and then they prayed for him, and then he had seen. God has touched him. He had met Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, and that's when he became into the family of God. You and I have experienced the same thing. If you have not experienced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to be part of the family of God, not the church building, I'm saying, but the family of God is bigger than that, the kingdom of God, with Him, speaking to our Heavenly Father. If you have not experienced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're not plugged into the family of God, my encouragement to you today is to receive Him as your personal Savior and say, I want to be into the family of God. You know, sometimes I used to preach in the church, and I never used to say, church, I never used to preach on salvation because I said everybody was saved. That's when I started my ministry. But I will preach until the day I die. But I've learned through the years that even in churches, people just go there for traditions. Or people just go there to sit out and warm up a pew because they love the music or they love the fellowship. But it's the relationship with Christ. So I encourage you this morning. I tell you right now, if you're here for 10 years or 5 years or 15 years or 5 days or 1 day, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my encouragement is you just accept Him as your personal Savior. That's how simple it is. You say, I want to accept you, Lord. And then you're going to end up being into the family of God. Remember, we're not looking at the church building. We're looking at individuals this morning. So now Saul, he accepted Jesus Christ as seeing. Once he was blind, now we see. Once you and I were blind, now we see. Because Christ has transformed our lives. Now, there's a working process in our lives. We cannot just be that person who God has changed our lives. There's a growth, a spiritual growth. Like a baby drinks milk, and from milk goes to something else, until they eat 3AAA steak. That's what happens. It is the same thing with our spiritual walk. We accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and then there's a growth in our lives, a spiritual growth, and the food comes in, and the Word of God comes in, and you take it, and you take it, and you take it. But remember, we just don't take, or else you would just grow fat. But you take, and then you go out on the streets and share the gospel of Christ. This place, as we're united here today, is a place of growth, is a place when we get together in unity. The troops, the army gets together, and we get together protecting ourselves. This should be a place of peace. This world is no peace out in this world. We need to be a church that when the people come in, there is peace among this place. There's peace among brothers and sisters. There's peace among family members. There's peace about board members and people in the church. We need to have this peace inside this building itself inside our lives. So there's no other place to find peace. It is only when the gathering of the people get together and you sense the peace of God. People are living in this world and tormented and discouraged and destroyed, and they just want to sense the love and the peace among them. So once they enter into the church, we should be the examples in showing and teaching them the peace. There is no time for division. There is no time for separation in this world. People need to sense the presence of God. Needs to sense the peace upon their lives. And the comfort is when they sleep. And when they lay their head on that pillow, they will just sense the peace of God. But we, you and I, need to have that peace among us. Among us, brothers. You know, I've seen this in board members, not the New Hope Christian Assembly. I've seen this in the past in Montreal, that the worst place to see the arguments is when they're in the board meetings. And I look at that and say, how can there be division among the board? No, we must be peace among the board. It must be peace among the church of God. We must be peace in this New Hope Christian Assembly. So the people they enter, they must just sense the peace of God. So today, if you don't have that peace with God, my encouragement is to have the peace with God first and then the peace with individuals. Now, if you looked at chapter 9, you see that when there was persecution, the people had scattered in chapter 8, verse 1, and the apostles stayed together. So they had scattered. So persecution at times is good. China goes through great persecution and the churches grow. You might say, but persecution will separate us. But this persecution, it separated them in going various places to preach the gospel. And wherever they went, churches had started because the gospel has been preached. So we are times that we must go through persecutions. So what happens? There was persecution. The persecution was that they were afraid because they haven't realized that Saul became Paul and transformed. So they said, now there's a peace. Now they said, wow, he's a Christian now. He's saved. So there's peace. Persecutions we go through very minimum compared to other churches, other places go through. When there's little persecutions, it should unite as you united them in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what in Paul had arrived at the right time in the church the church was going through the tremendous persecution. The enemy was attacking the people with persecution. See, church, we need good principles, good businessmen, good business leaders, good leadership. We need good system, good strategies. You see that in all organizations that are successful. But we as a church are called something more. We are called to do the person of Christ. And every church system is the same, is to draw people to Christ and obeying like Christ. It says to one of them, it says, therefore what? Go and make. Now, if we have failed in that department, the church will not grow spiritually and numerically. The danger of our church is we can lose focus out on the missions that we are called is to make disciples. Now, I asked someone, and you look and you can ask some people and some of your friends, what does the church represent? People say it's a building. People say it's money grabbers. People say they're brainwashers. People say all kinds of things, but they really don't understand what is the church. Because they think it's as more of a building than as individuals ourselves. Because we become into the family of God. Remember, we looked at that with Paul. You see, you know, if we look at this, we have a nice building. And we thank God for this building. There's a place that we can come together and worship the Lord and sing together and have fellowship. And we have a great time together after services and before services. And we worship in the presence of God. And that is great. But church is not just about the building. It's about when you step out of this building. And how are you, church? Are you a healthy church? We can be the church in a church. But when you're outside the church, how are you? How are we? Are we actually being like the church? Now, when the church is the church, it will literally change the community in the world. We should not be surprised that the enemy will do anything in his power to attack the church. He does not want the church, the body of Christ, every one of us here, to grow spiritually and numerically. So he will do anything in his power. He will find excuses. He will find anything to allow not people to come into the church, to come together as a gathering as we get together week after week. So they lived a time of peace. And you know that is important for us to bring peace among us. But to bring peace among us, first of all, there must be peace with God. So you have this peace with God. Now, the peace of God is in your life, and we must give that peace. See, when Jesus walked in the home, he says, peace be among you. It was transparency, there was the truth, it was honesty. It wasn't fake. So when someone enters into a church or in a home or whatever it is that you're gathering, you as a church should say, peace has to be done with sincerity. Peace of God be upon you. And you will sense that peace because we need that peace. And my goal is this church will have the peace among each others so the people will just sense the peace in this place. It says, make every effort to keep what? The unity of spirit through the bond of peace. And the church is not a place for division, but rather a place that get along with one another. I don't want to hear any more phone calls or any more times to say I was not feeling comfortable. I didn't feel anything that way in that church. I was not connected. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm sharing my heart this morning with you. Because a church will not grow if there's division. A church will not grow if there is bitterness against each other. A church will not grow if there is favoritism. A church will not grow if you just neglect the people. If we say we are the church, we act like the church. And when we act like the church, and when we follow the fundamental and the truth of God's word, you and I will see the church growth. But it would never grow unless it starts within ourselves. And if I see a brother and a sister arguing, and I will do all my ultimate best to take that sister and that brother and make them kiss on the cheek. Because I want to bring unity among them. The enemy has won many lives, and it is time for us to bring them back to the church of God. Do you believe in that? Well, that's a weak amen. That is a weak amen. We must believe in that, that we're going to bring back unity inside the church. We're going to bring back peace among the church of God and allow the church of God to grow spiritually. Now, we need each other. We need the unity among each other. Oh, this doesn't come out. I want to take something. But if I can't pick this up, and Brother Ed will come and he will help me and pick it up together, because there's unity. We work as a team. No one's saying anything about, oh, she's going to do it, I'm not going to help her. No! We're working as a team for the purpose of bringing glory to God. And to allow someone else to know Jesus as the personal Savior. It's not about getting a medal on your shoulder. It's not about looking good. He doesn't look at that. God doesn't look at which, you know, what you wear and how many services you did around the church and how many things you did. Though it's important for us to be part of that. But God looks at our heart. And he wants to see that we have the peace and the unity among each other. And if you don't have that peace, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Prince of Peace. But the church needs to be a place of peace and unity. The question, New Hope, does that describe the church? Think of it. Does that describe New Hope Christian Assembly? And answer yourself that question. But whatever it describes today, let's focus on peace. I want to just go a little bit up further and faster than this. We looked at peace for a moment. Let's look at build up, edified. We need a solid foundation in the church. There are five truths, five fundamentals that we need to look at. And I'm going to go briefly. Bible, prayer, disciple, worship, and evangelism. If we don't have Bible, the church will fail. If we don't have prayer in the church will crumble. If we don't have disciple, how can people come to know Christ? If we don't have worship, how can we glorify God? If we don't have evangelism, how can people know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior? There are five things that we must do. If we look at Bible, my encouragement is spiritually, individually, we must take the time to read the scriptures daily. It is one verse a day. It can do, you don't have to read 20 chapters. One verse a day. In the beginning of my the way I started the Christian walk is I went on that computer and those cassettes that they had that time there, and I wanted to read the whole Bible in 1 week. I haven't learned anything because it was just fast, because I said I'm going to learn as fast as I can. No, but then I've learned through the years. Take one verse at a time, a chapter at a time, and ponder on it. And meditate on the Word of God and apply it on your life and act in obedience to the Word of God. So as individuals, it is our duty to read the Scriptures daily. Meditate it day in. That's one thing that if a Christian does not have, that the church does not have, it will fail. Because you will never, that's the sword. So that sword is to go against the evil things. That sword is to help you find answers when you're confused. And when you're searching for answers, the Word of God is there to direct your life. That's a powerful sword. And sometimes we have a sword that is penetrating the hearts of people in the wrong ways. But we must put that, lay aside that sword that cuts the people's hearts, but take the Word of God and use it against the evil things of this world. So we need the Word. The Bible reading daily, and as a church, the Word of God is being preached here. So the moment you remove the Word of God, the moment you remove Jesus off the church, out of the scriptures, out of the preaching, the church will fail. Because church, it's all about Jesus. It's not about anything else in the world, but it's about Jesus. And we should be out preaching Jesus every single day of our lives. So one, Bible. What was the second one we have to look? Prayer. My friend, I said this in the past, New Hope Christian Assembly, if we don't have a prayer life, we will fail. We will crumble. We will die. We will collapse. We need this relationship with God. Individually and as a church, as a corporate, as a family of God, when we get together. Then the next thing is with discipleship. We got to disciple people. We got to train people to do the work of God. And then is worship. Yes, we come here. It's worship is not just about the songs on a Sunday morning. Though it sounds good, and Brother Alaric is doing a phenomenal job with the team. And we're in the presence of God and excited. But the thing is, when you step out of those doors, are you actually worshiping the Lord the way you walk? The way you act? The way you speak to individuals? And then what is it, evangelism? Without evangelism, no souls will come to Christ. Scriptures tells us over and over to evangelize, to speak about the Word of God, so someone else can experience Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Our spiritual growth, to edify, to work together. The word is often used to denote Christians' conduct, our manner of life. And in Colossians 1:10, it says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him in every way. Doing what? Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, let's look at another thing. We looked at the fundamentals. If we don't have this foundation, the church is not going to grow. Spiritually and in a corporate place, in a gathering, it won't grow if you don't have those 5 points. You need those 5 things. As a building, you need the 4 pillars. If you don't have the pillars, it's not going to last. It's going to fall. You need those pillars. You need those foundations to allow the church to grow. So now we say we walking in what? The fear. Let's look at walking in fear. So walking is going to one place to another. It takes action. So we must strive for that. We must go that direction. Walking in the fear is in awe of the Lord, His reverence before God. The respect in the house of God. As when we gather together, there must be a respect among God, among us with God, and a respect among each other in reverence. There must be a respect towards the pastor of the church, the way is mutual respect that I must give towards the church. If I can respect you, why not you can't respect me? I'm following the same Bible as you're following. I'm taking it somewhere else. So I will respect because the Word of God tells me to respect each other and to have reverence before people. But the most important thing is to have reverence before the Lord. And at times the churches have lost this reverence before God. We use it as a social club instead of a church of people gathering together and focusing on the one true God. Lord, bring us back with the reverence before you, Lord. It's when we enter into the church in building itself, there is a reverence and an awe before you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful presence, Lord, and the respect that you have towards Him. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking in the fear of the Lord. They were living in the fear of the Lord. To live before Him is to trust, reverence, and awe, and worship, and obedience. To walk all the ways of God. And Deuteronomy tells us 10:9-12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God? And how should we walk in it is with obedience to Him, to love Him and to serve Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And not partially, with all our heart and soul. A healthy church seeks God's will above everything else, above all else. A church that pleases God is a church where the people honor Christ. In our daily conduct, in their daily thoughts, and in their daily words, a church that get together, they will honor Christ even the way we speak. Oh, Lord, help us to walk in that fear and reverence before you, Lord. Help us, Lord. A humble and unreserved submission to your authority, God. Living in awe and reverence of the power of God could have crushed us, but He said to us, wow. And He made us, and He created us. If you want success in the church, and if there has been success in the church, it's not because of man, it's because of God. It's because of God's power, God's Spirit. The reverence should not be around me. The reverence should be around God. Like I said, we should respect each other. We should respect. And then another thing that we look at is walking in the Spirit. The definition is walking is going to one place to another. We need actions. We need to do things. We cannot be a church who only warms up a pew. A church needs to be busy. A church needs to be busy. A church needs to move. A church cannot just sit down and stay there. A church needs to move wherever you go, in your schools, in your workplace. It needs to move. They need to move not by your own power, but you have to walk by the Spirit of God. And not only walking by the Spirit of God, you must trust the Spirit and believe that the Spirit will do a mighty great things in the lives that are around us. It is our duty to walk with the Spirit of God. Without that Spirit, you will not go anywhere. Without the Spirit of God in this building, in this church, it will not go anywhere. And the only way the church had multiplied as we look at it is when they walked in fear and they walked in the Spirit of God. And that's what I want to see New Hope Christian Assembly. That we walk in fear and reverence before God. That we walk by the Spirit and not by might, not by sight, but by the Spirit of the Lord saith. We live by what? By faith? Do we live by faith? We live by faith. We live by the Spirit of God. We need to live and allow God to work in our lives. And allow Him to move in a mighty, precious way. The people around us need to see. Need to see the power of God. You know, we love. This is something I will look at next week. We love our heritage. We love our building. We love our traditions. But the things in life, we change. Our singing has changed. The microphone has changed. The people have changed. The clothes have changed. Everything has changed, but God's Word does not change. God's Word was the same yesterday and today and forever. And that God's Word has transformed lives in the past. God's Word will transform lives today. We must sometimes let go of some traditions to have change. We should not be attached at a chair or at a table. That's not the importance here. We should not be attached at a color that is on a wall. That is not my importance. I don't care about the color of the wall. But we should change our way of thinking and getting more into the Word of God. God is not going to look at the church building and say you had a yellow color and mustard seed on the wall. God's not going to look at the flags. God's not going to look at the pews. God's not going to look at the carpet. God's going to look at the church as a church yourself spiritually. He's going to say, have you done my job? Have you done what you're called to do? Have you been straight with God? Have you went out and just witnessed to someone? It takes so easy to witness to someone. So you could just take some time. Even in the morning, I was talking to a sister this past week, and there are times that you just get up in the morning and just say, Lord, this morning direct me to the right person. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Do you know the harvests are already ready to receive? And if we're just going to sit down, nothing's going to happen. It is our duty to go out and start doing things for God, to allow the church of God to experience, to allow people to experience the same presence that you and I experience week after week, the same love, the same joy, the same satisfaction, the same peace. Don't you want someone to experience that? When you depend on the Holy Spirit, when you depend on the Holy Spirit, great things happen. We live by faith, not by sight. The church must commit to holiness. The church must depend on prayer. You know, church, let's not complain first, but instead, let's pray first. It's easy to complain first. So my encouragement to every one of you this morning, it's not one of those messages that you expect that me running back and forth, but I need to teach the word today. And I want to start in the series of the church as a whole. One, grow spiritually with God. Take the time with God on a day-to-day basis. Very simple, read the scripture. And some of you are doing that. Great. Keep it up. Never give up on the word. And some of you spend time in prayer every day. And some of you just read the scripture every day. And some of you pray and worship the Lord. Yes, it's great. But now I want to challenge you. If you're not that person that gets out of that comfort zone and does things for the Lord, this is where I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and do things for God. And that's when you're going to start seeing miracles. That was, if you remember, 8 weeks ago I spoke about, I wanted to see healings. I want to see lives transformed. We want to see people being cast, demons casted out of their lives. We want to see addictions coming to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. We want to see people transformed. But we as a church must be ready. First, we must connect ourselves with God and have that peace with God, the unity with God, and the love with God. My passion is for souls to come to know Christ as a personal Savior. Like I said, I don't care about this thing. I really don't. I really don't care about the microphone or this thing here. But what I do care is as a church, we glorify God and do what we're called to do. And to allow people to experience the same love. And watch this. What did it do? And the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Don't you want the church to multiply? That is our, isn't that our goal? Isn't that our vision? Don't you want to see the church growth? A healthy church is when we are a healthy church. When we're together in unity and love and peace, working together, walking in the fear of the Lord, and walking in the Spirit of God. And when we're together like this, in unity, then you see God will start sending people around their ways, around their lives, so they can experience Christ as their personal Savior. And you know that it ends up, even as we continue the service, we know that even as a church is part of prayer, of scripture reading, of fellowship, and also the communion. This is something that we need to do. We need to remember what Christ has done for us. We must, you know, remember, say, He went on the cross and received those nails of love for you and I. Placed Himself there and received those nails of love because He loved us so much. And there are times that we must remember what He has done for us. Church, I'm starting to love more and more New Hope. And that's what? Is it a good sign or a bad sign? It's a good sign. But I just want you to feel my heartbeat. Feel my heartbeat where I'm trying to lead the church. I'm telling you, if I hear something going against each other, brother and sister, I will just come and put you guys together and hug you guys. Make you guys hug and give a holy kiss. There must be unity. There must be peace. There must be love. And when we do that, we walk in the fear of the Lord and reverence before God and allow the Spirit of God to move. And you will see the people come and come and come. The early church grew. Can the today 21st century church grow? Yes, it can. But it has to start with individuals. So this morning, as we prepare our hearts for the communion, I will ask Pastor Allen to come forth, and he will lead us into the communion this morning, just to keep this reverence before God and this respect before God. Praise God. Praise your name.